Ramadan Kareem. It's officially the time where I'm able to say that to you, alhamdulillah. And as we are getting ready to open up Ramadan, or you're opening Ramadan in your country, I just want to say that this is the time of blessing. Do not let anything stand in the way of this month. I don't care what life situation. This is the month of mercy, the month of the Quran, the month where everything can change for you if you prioritize and don't let your thoughts, your issues get in the way. You have full control. After Allah, alhamdulillah. So in today's podcast, we're going to start an amazing series. And we're doing a couple different things in this Ramadan. But today we're starting off amazing women in Islam to inspire you on how to reach your goals. And today's going to be an amazing one about a sister that's going to help us to learn how to truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're not going to miss these series because they're going to get you inspired and in helping you to become the best woman by the end of Ramadan, bidhillah. Let's go. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to the Mindful Muslim Speaks podcast. I'm so happy to have you back. And I know a lot of you come back in Ramadan. I know. It's kind of like you go on this music thing and then Ramadan's like, stop listening to music. I have to like find a halal podcast. And then you go scouring. So what we did really cool this year, as we just mentioned it last time, is we did a Ramadan playlist. So all of the past ones where we talk about, you know, important things like habit breaking, menstruation, all that stuff, I have that link below. I've also shared that on my Instagram. Actually have an entire reel. Maybe I'll just link the reel to where we have it. If you literally go to the reel and in the comment section, you just put, I think, the word music, it'll instantly send you my playlist. It's like a really, really fast way. Anyway, alhamdulillah, so excited to be with you guys today. We are kicking off this series as Ramadan is opening to, help us to be inspired by amazing women. And this sister today will help us to learn to truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fall in love so you feel like you're not disconnected from Him. So many of us come to Ramadan wanting that connection. Sometimes we get it at the end, sometimes we don't because we're not doing the right thing. But I just want to give you a couple tips right before I dive into the story in relation to that. Ramadan is very much about what you choose to do with it. I know we've built up some bad habits in the past months of social media usage or kind of like getting emotionally overwhelmed, but I want you to know something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has changed shaitan, so anything left after that is us, our nafs, our desires. And you know what? You can control that. You can do it. It's all mental, if I could be fair. Even fasting. And I gave a tip to the sisters in Thrive just yesterday. I want to give it to you here as well. For the people who will be struggling with fasting, I know we're opening up. There's a lot of people who are anxious about failing or not doing well. Here's my tip to you. First of all, you can do anything when you put your mind to it. I know that sounds so cheesy, but I mean, I want us to think about things you've done before. You thought you couldn't do them, but then you did. Then you did. Alhamdulillah. And when it comes to fasting, I want you to put in your mind fastings like this. I'm not starving myself all day. Alhamdulillah. If you eat suhoor and then you have iftar, right? Fudur. Then I'm just having an early breakfast, a late dinner, and skipping lunch. That's really all I'm doing if you think about it all Ramadan. And that is not that hard when you look at it that way. Yes, you might get thirsty. You might get the headaches from the coffee. Ladies, this is normal. Don't expect not to be tired. Don't expect that. It is like a marathon. You're going here for the long haul. Don't come out the gate super fast and don't definitely, overwhelm yourself. Take it baby step at a time, but consistency is key. That's what we're going for. So just that really quick reminder. I wanted to say too, yesterday, shout out to the women in Ramadan Recharge. We opened up the program where I work with women every single week. So those women were working on goals. So sisters, if you've got those goals and we talked about how to fix them and everything, you get those going like out the gate. Don't wait. And everybody else listening to the podcast, make sure you have one or two major goals that you're working on. Alhamdulillah. And what I want to say lastly is for the sisters who are inside of Thrive, the program completely jumps off today. We're going to hang out and chat together and eat together type of a thing closer to the time when it's to break fast. And inshallah ta'ala, All of the learning starts this week. If you're struggling with forgiveness and forbearance, you want to learn all of the fiqh of women, whatever it is, you want to be inspired by stories, you want a Quran journal, whatever it is, it all starts today. So, so excited to be with you. Ladies, everything we have, all of our resources are online, www.mindful-muslim.com. We're also starting our Quran challenge today, our Ramadan buddies today, our family challenge. We have so many things for you to get hyped. I find when I'm just alone doing it, it's really hard. But when I have a place to show up with other sisters, it makes all the difference. So, so, so excited to meet with you guys. And I'll also be coming on live on our Telegram channel that are for the sisters there. And I'll see you guys there. I already left you some gems of knowledge in the Reverb group that's in there. And so excited to see you. All right. So today we're going to be talking about a sister who is absolutely amazing. None other than Rabia al-Basriya, radiallahu anha. And you know what? She, like I said, was just somebody who taught the world how to truly love Allah, how to fall in love with Allah, how to be just somebody who in this time and age we need to look at as a person who has immersed herself in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think of a person who is living in a desert, covered with a shawl, with a big long beard and dirt in his clothes, and this perception of what we have, of what greatness is. But this sister shows us that women are truly great. And, you know, the actual love for Allah has to be in your heart. To earn that level of greatness with Allah, to earn that level of having true love of Allah with your heart, this person, my dear sisters, is one of my favorite personalities in the history of Islam, and she is none other than Rabia al-Basriya. Now, her actual name, because she's from a certain tribe, is slightly different, but she writes about, many historians write about her, and they say that her name is the way it is because she was the fourth daughter of her family, which the word comes from which she was named, and her name was Ada, and because of her tribe, Al-Basriya, which she is known today, well, is the city that she was born in. And who was this lady? She did not have the traits, like the physical traits of a person that was supposed to be famous. She did not have the beauty of the world. In fact, she was barren. She was not able to give birth to children. She was born in one of the poorest families of Barcelona. Of that extent, she became a slave at one point in her life. So why do we speak about her? It's not her beauty. It wasn't her wealth. It wasn't the fact that she was born to a great family. What is making us speak about her after so many hundreds of years, sisters, is she's like the reviver of this concept of how to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to make it the focus of your life, that Allah's love will be in our heart. And you know, one day people saw her running in the streets of Basra and she had a bucket of water in her hand. And she was throwing the water and splashing it in different places. And they will look at her and say, "Oh, Rabia, what, have you gone mad? What are you doing?" And she would reply and say, "I'm taking a bucket of water and I'm throwing it around, thinking to myself how I wish Allah takes the water of the world and removes the fire of Jahannam and he removes the paradise of Jannah, and there is no Jannah to hope for, and there's no Jahannam to be afraid of, and there's no Jannah to yearn, and there's no Jahannam to be scared of, but all there is love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Like, she didn't want people to love and fear in order to love Allah. She's like, just love him. He's so great. How could you not? Just not, you know, like, because they were, she wants them just to love Allah just because they want to, not because they want something out of it. It's okay, you know, to worship Allah. It's okay, but she wanted the creation to understand that concept that I'm worshiping Allah because I want to, because I love to, not because I'm being made afraid or excited about something he's going to give me. And hence it was written about her that when she was taken to her grave, students of hers, you know, she had mentors, state that they saw a dream that when she was taken to her grave and the doors of Jannah and the windows of Jannah were open, and upon her, she said, "I don't want this. Give me prayer rug so I can pray. There is none other and no object of my life on the day of judgment than when she will be directed towards Jannah. She once again will say, 'Allah, I just want to pray. I just want to keep my head in such that it is what it is said about her is that like she just loved Allah and just wanted to be with him.' When she was married early on in her life, she would go to her husband before fall, and she would go to him in the sleep, and she would ask him, 'Do you have any need towards me?' And if he would say no, then she would say, 'I want permission to go and pray some rakah.' And he to her husband says that she would go and pray, and I would sit and look at her all night, and she would be in sajda crying and standing and praying long to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the only goal she had in her mind with herself. And her husband passed away while she was still very young. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, proposed to her a verse proposed to rehearse himself. Hasan al-Basri had a great level of respect for this woman. They said about Hasan al-Basri that he would not start something of in knowledge until Rabia Abbas came and sat down out of love and respect for her. So one day he came to her and she says, "Your husband passed away and can I marry you?" And this marriage, not because of attraction of the world, this was because she loved Allah and he also wanted that love. You know, like sometimes when people are infectious, like you're just like, "Oh, I just want to sit with them." I have sat with such great people and they were just so amazing. You could feel almost like the Islam ooze out of them. I can't explain this. You can't explain this unless you've actually been with people like that. And he just wanted that same love that she had. And she says, "Oh, Hassan, if you can answer these questions for me, then I'll marry you. And I have no objection." He said, "Go ahead, ask me." And what are the questions of that woman and the men of the world ask? You know, how do they ask today? "What's your degree? How much do you earn?" You know, these are the things that like we do, right? And this is a good one for the single ladies out there, right? What kind of car do you have? What's your house like? You know, how are you going to take care of me? Like, what's your goal? Rabia asked Hassan, "Do tell me, when I'm placed inside of the grave 6 feet under the ground, and one current naked come to me and ask me, will I be able to answer it correctly?" She's basically saying, when I'm in the grave, will you be any help for me to answer the questions that I will be asked about? And he says, I can't say that. That's not my knowledge. And she said, "Okay, well, maybe you can answer this for me. Oh, Hassan, do tell me that on the day of judgment, everyone will be separated and people will be given their books in their right hands or in their left hand, you know? When the people of them, they receive these books in their right hand, they'll be lost in joy. And the ones who get in their left hand, they're going to say, 'Oh, I never wish I got my results.'" You know, and so she's asking about this. "Can you tell me, like, you know, where I'm going to get my book handed?" And he says, "I can't tell you that." She said, "Well, perhaps you can tell me then the answer to this question. On the day of judgment, when everyone will be crossing the bridge and entering into Jannah, someone will fall because of their sins. Tell me, will I cross the bridge with ease, or will I cross it difficultly?" Like, she's asking, like, how is it going to be for her? What influence will you have on this? And sisters, this is a woman who had dedicated her entire life to the ibadah, to worship, to such a degree, like, I want you to think about our daily life, how we spend it, where we place our time. Now, many will say, "Well, I have to work. I have to go to school." Do you think she couldn't do these things? Do you think she couldn't keep herself busy with these things? This is what I mean also about Ramadan. Life is a choice. You can choose to say, "I'll do that later." This sister, Rabia, she's putting Allah first. And because of that, because he's consuming more of her schedule than the average woman, she finds this love. Now you will say, "I don't have time for this. You know, this is not like back in the day." Sisters, I will say it like I've always said it. It's not sometimes that we can't, it's that we won't. We've literally never tried. Like, just be real. Have you ever really, really tried to put Allah 100% first? Not for a day and then you gave up. Not for 2-3 days and you're like, oh, this is too hard. I mean, really wanted it. In her heart, she wanted it, you know? And she was afraid of displeasing Allah out of complete love. You know, there's that saying, you can love or you can fear something, right? She loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is because she spent time with him. If you spend time with Allah, you will get it too. But how many of us are doing that, really? Now, many of you might say, well, I'm doing a lot better than I was before. And it's good. It's good to feel like you're doing a lot, right? But don't ever feel like you're doing enough. The Sahaba, they never felt that way. Well, oh, you know, you're making me on this unrealistic path of like, you know, it's never enough. No, because when you have that love for Allah, it never feels like it's enough. Allahu alam, you know, in the end, he says to her, oh, Rabia, I cannot answer that question. I cannot answer this. I cannot answer that. And she says, oh, Hassan, if you're not able to help me with these matters, I have absolutely no desire or need for you because you cannot help me. And Allah says, whoever wants dunya, I will give it to them. You will get it. Don't worry about it. But I will give them more, obviously, if they're doing it for Jannah, right? So she's like, you're not going to help me with Akhirah. You're going to help me with Dunya. You're not helping me with the life where I'm going to Allah. You're only helping me with that, with this Dunya. And I'm not looking for that. You're just going to make me like, oh, I have a husband. He's so cute. I'm with him. And there's many of us that think about this. Is our spouse in a position to give us Jannah? Now, it's not needed to be extreme where you will refuse a husband. This is not the point of this, in case it was confused. It is that the love for this woman, that even when she's given an incredible man that comes forth for her, she's not dazzled by his good looks. She's not interested in his accolades. She is interested in how he's going to put her in a position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. How many of us are doing that? And we think of Rabia Abasriya. Many times we cannot even fathom the amount of sacrifices she had to make. And that's the other thing. We got into this point in this day and age where we don't want to feel any pain. Even Ramadan. Oh, I don't want to feel pain. Oh, this is going to be uncomfortable. That's okay. Why are we afraid of that? Why are we afraid of discomfort? Do we not know the legacy of our people that they have suffered? Do you not see the people in Palestine, how they are suffering? Fi sabilillah. They're not like, oh Allah, this is hard for us. Why you did this? A'udhu billah. We're looking at them with awe. Look at these people of grit. Oh, I don't have the grit to be like the people of Palestine. I'm not even telling you to. I'm not even telling you to be a tenth of what they have. I'm telling you that type of grit comes out of spending time with Allah before this time. When you have hardship, my sister, if you spend time with Allah before the hardship will be easier. So now in Ramadan, we should use this time. You know, alhamdulillah. Now one day, Rabia, you know, she wanted to go to Hajj and she purchased a very weak donkey. It was kind of feeble. And she takes this donkey and while traveling to Hajj, the donkey passes away. And many people in the caravan come to her and say, you know, Rabia, come with us. We'll help you. And she says, I don't need your help. And she turns to Allah and she says, you know, a person asks the Prophet, Sahib asks the Prophet, Allah, tell me the process and the method that people can love me and Allah can love me. And the Prophet told them, be abstinent and renounce the world and Allah will love you. Now, many people think that this means to stay away from everything, to live a life of poverty and misery. The point is, when she needs help, she doesn't turn to people first. She turns to Allah first. It doesn't mean she will never not receive help. It's that she's doing the order of operations. How many of us are actually doing that? Right? And, you know, when you love Allah, Allah makes the people love you. And, you know, subhanAllah, and that's what happened to her. And she said, don't worry, leave me alone. And she turned to Allah and she says, Allah, you will help me. You're the owner and the master of everything. And my donkey is dead and you can help me. And historians say that, you know, that after that, Allah helped them in one day, helped her to carry on to go to Hajj. And one day she was extremely sick. And Imam Sufyan, Allah, you know, mentioned, was a muhaddith of his time. And a great personality in his own right, he came to visit her. And subhanAllah, he came to visit her and he looks at her state and he asks Allah, he said, I'm going to ask Allah to give her shifa. And she looks back at him and she says, I thought you were an intelligent man. Because why should you ask Allah to give me a cure whilst he is happy with me in this state? Allah wants me to be sick at this point in my life. And if he thinks that's good for me, I'm happy with whatever he wants from me. SubhanAllah. I want you to think, sister, of what real love looks like. Real love is when you're pleased with what Allah gives you, even if it's discomfort. Not because you want to be a martyr, but because you love him so much and you trust him. You got in a car accident. Alhamdulillah, I'm still alive. My car is wrecked, but Allah did this for a reason, and I know he doesn't do things unjustly. I got into a huge fight with, you know, my boss, and I lost my job. I'm just, you know, saying, making it up. Alhamdulillah, if I turn to Allah with ease for this and my situation, he will give me better. You see, we don't do these things. We know of them. They sound nice. But actually try them. I have. That's why I know. And even though I could not be anywhere near as great as these amazing women, I know that even when I try just a tenth, a twentieth of what they do, I find exactly what they say happens. And I see the benefit, subhanAllah. And alhamdulillah, this sister, she was the one who truly loved Allah. And she rectified her nafs. The biggest thing she did was she controlled her desires. And this all begins when a person realizes that we are not strong just because we're working 9 hours or 10 hours a day. That's not strength. We're not strong because we earn a living or because we have a degree or we go to university. That doesn't make us smart. That doesn't make us strong. It's if we can control our own selves. How many people can have a master's degree and a PhD, but they can't even control themselves from how to use their phone? Right? It can be pathetic. I can't even control where my finger goes, but I have all these accolades. I can, you know, mashallah, I earned all this money, or I have all this, you know, this nice car and this nice house, but I can't even control the tongue in my head. I can't even control the thoughts in my mind. That is complete weakness. This sister is an example of incredible strength in controlling her nafs. Right? So alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us and help us to be able to control ourselves and our nafs in this Ramadan. This sister was an example of, like we see the people in Palestine, the Quran in action. Even if we cannot reach all of the strength of the past greatest women, we can surely, even if we did a 10th or a 20th, be that much better in the version of ourselves that we are. And that's how you thrive as a woman. You look at the great situations of people and you're inspired by them. And you say, how can I apply that to my life right now? I know you can. I know you can. Maybe you just haven't tried as hard yet, or you haven't wanted it as much yet. Let me tell you, there's never a time better than right now with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, alhamdulillah, this is the month of mercy. The things you thought you could not do, you can do them. Alhamdulillah. May Allah make it easy for you, my sister. I love you for the sake of Allah. Don't forget to download, save the podcast. Make it so you avoid haram. Please, the music, the scrolling on the phone. Keep yourself busy with khair. If you need help, you need support, we have tons of resources to support you on your journey. Do not just say, oh, I have no plan. I didn't have time to plan. We have planned a lot for you. Alhamdulillah. Go to our website, www.mindful-muslima.com, for any more support. And I look forward to seeing you in the next one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.